Hello, hello, guys. I come to you on a overcast Wednesday afternoon to talk to you about mea culpa. I'm late. It's okay. Let's get into it. All right, guys. I am Tiffany, and this is the Recap Addicts podcast. Hello, hello. It's been a minute since we've been in it. Guys, I was originally planning on doing this episode in February because that's when mea culpa came out. But, you know, life be lifing and your girl be tired. I know you're tired too. So let's just sit here and talk about this interestingly horrible movie. I want to be clear, and spoilers if you haven't seen Mea Culpa, because we're gonna blaze through that movie and I'm gonna give you some endings, but I'll get into that in a second. Mea Culpa was like a lifetime movie if it had Kelly Rowland in it. And I want to be clear, Miss Kelly Rowland, she ate. She did the damn thing. She walked in there with the wig that was wigging and the shoulder pads that were shoulder padding, and she did her damn thing. So this has nothing to do with her. We're going to move her to the side. Like in Top Chef, we're going to ask her to step to the side. This has nothing to do with her. The rest of the movie, let's talk about it. So as many people are reviewing this movie and talking about Mea Culpa as a movie and the train wreck that it is, once again, not talking about Miss Kelly Rowland, I decided what would be a better ending. So I wrote some endings down. I watched the movie all the way through. I did fast forward through some of it because there were way too many talking scenes. I haven't done that in a long time where I fast forwarded through a movie. But I did in this one because there were parts that really got on my nerves. The family dynamic of it all really got on my nerves. Like, it was like this thing with Tyler Perry where he has to make the villain. And I was like, okay, well, we know her mother-in-law ain't shit, but, you know, you ain't got to be like, she ain't got to be so evil that I just want to jump through the screen and set her on fire myself. Like, it shouldn't be that bad. That being said, you know, I liked the movie because, once again, like I said, Kelly Rowland, she did her thing in that movie. Trevante wasn't bad, but that beard on Trevante really makes his chin look square, and it just took me right out. Like, and I love me some Trevante Rhodes. I want to say that and stand on business with that one. That man is fine. He is very fine. But when he doesn't have a beard, he looks great to me. When he has a beard, he looks like he's going to tell me about bean pies and he's going to try to convert me to Muslim, to be a Muslim, which that wouldn't be bad. But at the same time, if he had that beard, it would be a no. If he didn't have the beard, yeah, I'd be like, well, you know, assalamu alaikum, my brother. Salika salam. because I think he has some beautiful white teeth, and I know that's an odd request to have in a man, but his smile, when he smiles, his smile just brightens up your day when he smiles at you with his skin and his smile. But anyway, but that beard though, it'd be bearding, but I can't stand his beard. Oh, it drove me crazy in that movie. It was like, why did you do this? And I know the reason why he was so buff in this movie, in Mea Culpa, was because I think he just came off of the Mike Tyson movie, which he had to bulk up for that. He did a biopic where he was Mike Tyson, which I think he also had to grow the beard for that too. But anyway, this is just speculation. I'm not sure, but it would make sense of why he was so more muscular than what he normally is, because he's a lot more small frame in some of the other movies that he's done. But this one, he was really bulky. But that all to be said, it reminded me of a Lifetime movie, like I said before. I was annoyed by the lifetiminess of it. And I understand that Tyler is doing this for our aunts and uncles and and for the people that just really love his stuff. But for me, as for me, I don't, you know, it's not for me. I know that it's not for me. I tried to escape into this world for a little bit, and I found myself not being able to do that. Like, it didn't make any sense. Like, how many people got a sex dungeon down in they garage of their apartment building? Like, I think that shit would get raided very quickly. But all that to be said, I'm here with some endings. So these are my thoughts of how Mea Culpa could have been better if the ending had changed. So I have some thoughts. So the first one, I said to make it better, clear the villainous family subplot off. Take the brother off the table, take the mother off the table. Like, they shouldn't even be in the plot line. This should be Mea meeting up with Xavier, I think that was his name, or Xander, and them meeting for the first time because a mutual friend had introduced them and said he needed a lawyer. And then she kind of decides if she wants to take the case. And by happenstance, she finds out that the brother-in-law, you know, was the AD on the case. And then we kind of go into a little bit of her family story. I don't think that the husband needed to be addicted to drugs. I would actually prefer if he was just a good guy and they were trying to work on their marriage and it was very Fatal Attraction. Like, let's go the Fatal Attraction route. Like, Xander or Zaire, I think that's his name. I don't know. It's something with a Z. It's going to be a couple of different Z names. I'm going to be floating around here. Let's just say he's extremely attracted to Kelly Rowlands. She's Kelly Rowlands. It makes perfect sense. So let's just go the Fatal Attraction route. Husband's a good guy. He's working on his marriage with her. Like, but that's like sprinkled in. But it's more these situations where she feels like she has to be tempted by the guy that she's supposed to be helping with his murder case. And she finds out that way that her husband may have cheated on her, but in reality he didn't. And then it's her and her husband fighting against Zaire because Zaire is crazy because he got, you know, this little bit of time with her in this one sex scene and it would make more sense. And then they're all like her and her husband have to work together to fight him off. And then after killing him, they have to still, you know, either break up or decide if they're going to work on their marriage because she has been, like, she slept with somebody. Wouldn't that be a good ending? Like, the fact that they're fighting back and forth and it's this whole Fatal Attraction route. That's one ending that I had. So the next ending is, what if he really did it? Because we completely grazed past the point that the man had brain fragments in one of his paintings. We don't know, in the real story, we don't know if the brother-in-law put them there or what, but the girl's brain fragments was in the freaking painting. We just grazed past that. So long story short, what if he was really a serial killer? And what if Mea, we didn't know anything about Mia's husband. Like, Mea didn't have a husband. Mea was just single. And she ended up finding out, like, when she's ripping the paintings off the wall, she finds out he's killed all these ladies. He's got a sex dungeon in his basement. Wouldn't that be a better ending? Her having to fight her way away from him with the elevator that doesn't go downstairs unless he presses the button, and her trying to hide from him. And then, you know, her not knowing that by having sex with him, that's like his thing that gets him like completely crazy over these women and he kills them. That sounds like a way better ending to me than what we got. Way, way, way better. Because, I mean, Kelly Rowland running around trying to hide from him. And he's like, well, I love you and I just want to immortalize you in the paintings. Perfect ending. I would have loved that ending. And then she kills him. And then she's like, I'm never doing that again. Oh, that would have been a way better ending too. So that's ending two for me. And then, sorry, I'm reading my notes. Yeah, I see a lot of my notes are like, what if, oh, okay. And then I see my third ending. A lot of my notes are like, what if we just take the family out of there? Because it was a good movie, but if you just take the family out of it, it makes it 10 times better. Like, he falls on these tropes, and by he, I mean Tyler Perry. He falls on these tropes of family and how family is the foundation, and then you work your way out from there. How about you just start with somebody else? Like, how about you just start with the character? The character herself, Mia Coppola herself, I could follow, like, if he wanted to do a series with just that character alone. Like, wouldn't it be crazy if her next movie, and this is a tangent, I apologize. What if it would be crazy if, like, the next Mia Coppola movie is, like, a Hannibal Lecter situation where the dude is already in jail and he's trying to appeal and she has to take his case, but he actually really is a serial killer? You know, or she's trying to find another, you know, she's trying to find this other killer via this killer that's already in jail. That would be fascinating. I would love to see that. Kelly Rowland can do that. She has the range. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like one of those things, like, we could do a lot more with this character than what we did. Like, you know as well as I do, Tyler Perry, that we did a lot more with this character than what we did. So the next one that I had was, and this is once again minus the family, and this is the last one that I have, the gallery owner. The gallery owner was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Why couldn't she be the killer? It turned out after all of that, she would have known what to do with the paintings, you know, and Mia doesn't have a husband, but Mia just takes Zaire's case because she, you know, believes that he, it's a friend that invited, tells her to go and take his case. And she just believes that he is not, he's not guilty, but it turns out the gallery owner framed him because the gallery owner was mad because he slept with her and she jump started his career. I think that would be excellent. I think that would be an excellent ending as well. And they have to fight her off. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's running around chasing him with knives and stuff across his studio flat or through the sex dungeon or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that is another excellent ending as well. Like, that's three good endings. Like, that doesn't involve, I apologize, I'm saying like a lot. It doesn't involve the family subplot. The family subplot sucked so bad. So, so bad. The mother-in-law, yes, she was the worst. The brother, he was such a pansy ass. And everybody was just like, well, they told me to beat you. You are a punk ass if your family is telling you to physically assault your wife because she's too strong-willed. Why are we automatically going back to abuse? Like, it's like, and I know this is a Tyler Perry thing because this is something that he writes in most of his storylines. But it's just like, come on, man, there's so much here. Like, we had such great ground coverage. Like, we put down the soil, we made sure that there was no bugs or anything. Like, we started planting crops and then you just went and just set it all on fire. I was like, why would you do it? Why would you do it? Like, it didn't make any sense. To that ending, when I finally got to it, my face was like, what is going on? What is happening? And then her best friend, who's also her sister-in-law, that poor character, we could have just kissed her into the night. She didn't need to be there. She didn't need to be there. She was just there so that you knew that the brother was a piece of crap. And that was the reason why he wanted to frame Zaire in the first place. I was just like, okay, so you went through all of this trouble and nobody mentioned anything. Like, the sister-in-law could have said something. And that's, once again, Tyler Perry's story writing. Like, she could have mentioned to her, you be careful with him because he is very, you know, manipulative. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, like, and it was clear that something had happened, but you weren't quite sure. But at the same time, for the husband to go and detailedly frame this man to put him in jail. Yes, I know I watch Law and Order. This kind of crap happens. But at the same time, this is like, for real? Like, it's like Tyler Perry was writing Mia Coppola and he was just watching a Law and Order episode. And was like, that's it. I got it. Let's go and put, you know, the DA brother, he's the one who framed him. It's like, this makes no sense. Like, it makes sense, but at the same time, it's just like, Tyler, like, with most things, he gets towards the end and he writes the beginning of it, like, thinking about it, actually applying, like, how the characters are going to interact, the arcs and everything, and then gets to the end and it's like, whoop, let's just end it by them all trying to stab each other. Bing, bang, boom, we're done. So it's just like, okay. Because the only other person I know that does that is an old boy from off of American Horror Story. I can't remember his name right now. But the main showrunner for American Horror Story, I can't remember his name. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Oh, I think he does. He recently did Truman Capote and the Swans, on FX Feud. I'm trying to think of his name, but it's gonna come to me after I get through recording. He does the same thing. American Horror Story, he'll start the first 6 to 7 episodes will be okay, and then at the end he just shits the bed. And I was like, what happened? But Ryan Murphy, that's it. I was like, I know his name. I've watched so many of his shows. Ryan Murphy. Same thing with Ryan Murphy. So I don't know. I apologize for that tangent, but it kills me because this is one of the main reasons why I can't watch TV shows in general. Is because, like, I can't get invested in your 8 episodes if by episode 5, nothing makes sense. Like, it's so good all the way up until episode 5. Then it's just like, the aliens gonna come and kill us. I'm like, there is some shows like Monarch that was on Apple that was good from beginning to end. There wasn't one episode that I was just like, I just want to fast forward through this. I watched every episode. That's what I want for my television shows. Like, I haven't skipped one episode of Abbott Elementary. Each one of those episodes have been good. None of them been filler. I haven't wanted to fast forward through any of them. That's what you look for. That's why I look for my movies now too. Like, I literally just got through telling my husband a couple of days ago, I really don't want to get invested in any new shows or movies unless I know it's going to be good. Because it's just like, it's too much of an investment. And then for me to be mad at episode 6, because we just gonna wrap it up because you ran out of, you know, writing time and you just want to say, oh, it was ghost. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense. Like I find myself a lot of times, especially with Netflix shows too, not wanting to watch them all the way through. Like just give me the key points and tell me how it ends to wrap it up, and then I'm good to go. And then I could just go on to the next season. Because I know first 3 seasons of Game of Thrones, that's where I was. I skipped the first 3 seasons of Game of Thrones, caught a recap, and jumped in on like season 4 or 5. Because I was like, I'm not going to go back and watch all of those and figure out the nuance of the drama between the Dorakians and these other people. I don't have time for that. Like, just give me a recap. I'll jump in at 3 or 4 and then we'll go on from there. Because I want to see some White Walkers. I don't want to figure out, like, the dragons haven't came out the eggs. I don't know. I don't want to see any of that. I want to go forward. So, that being said, I have come to the end of my tirade rant about Mia Culpa. I hope that you've enjoyed these endings that I've come up with. And if this ever reaches the ears of a Tyler Perry or a Kelly Rowland, please know that I did enjoy your work. but I would like to see more from this character. Like, I really like the character a lot. I would love to her be like her own version of Perry Mason. And she goes and does these different things with serial killers and stuff. It doesn't have to be erotic horror every time. I would love it if it was like a thriller. This one almost danced the line of being a thriller. But, she doesn't have to fall in love with somebody every time. I actually was thinking like the next movie, like I said, if they were to do another movie with Mia Culpa, be like a Hannibal Lecter situation where she has to go and talk to the serial killer. He only wants to talk to her. And she, like, because she killed her husband in this first movie, the second movie is her trying to start dating again, only to find out that the serial killer that she is working with to find the serial killer, turns out she's dating the brother. That would be good, wouldn't it? It would be so good. Oh, man. I don't want to say it in canon. The next thing I know, I'm like, Mia Culpa 2 dances with Tara or some shit like that. And I'm like, hey, that's what I said on my little podcast that only 5 people listen to. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed this, and I'm going to let you go. I hope you have a good week. It is Wednesday, so we're almost close to the end. And I hope you have a good day. This is Tiffany from Recap Addicts Podcast. Bye.